Welcome to worship at Knox United Church in Parksville, BC. And we're delighted that you're here, and to begin our worship service, we are reminded that the Christ is present through the lighting of the Christ candle. I'd like to thank the Worship and Arts and Creative Planning team for encouraging us to experiment with different forms of worship. There are some people who are absolutely fine with the audio worship and are happy to sit down and listen to the service. There are others who have been missing the experience of seeing me and seeing Jenny here in our worship space. And there are others who would like that interaction. So later on, we're hoping that we'll have a Zoom Bible study or something that we can engage in interactively and see one another face to face in this time when we are all isolated. I'd also like to thank Jan and Colleen for creating online church. And if you would like to send in your poetry or inspirational thoughts or funny stories into the website to Colleen, that would be great for them to post that, or to Marg Kahn to post it on Facebook. And I'd like to thank Karen for stepping up and being able to record for our video today. So be patient with us. We invite you to now pass the peace of Christ to one another virtually. And so just close your eyes for a moment. Imagine being in our beautiful worship space at Knox, and passing the peace to all those who would normally be gathered around you this day. Center as we begin to lean into God in this time of anxiety and disquiet. Let us gather. Let us pray. Sacred source of all life, we give thanks that in this time of anxiety and uncertainty, this unprecedented time, that we would sense your presence of peace and calm within us and all around us and among us. Quiet our spinning thoughts. Help us to let go of our worries and our fears and be present to your peaceful presence. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the New English Bible. It was published in 1961, and it's owned, the Bible is owned by John Thompson, a member of our worship and arts team, who shared with us that it was personally given to him and signed by the late Professor Reverend William Barclay, a very famous commentary, in 1961. And so we read from that passage, the translation from the New English Bible from John Thompson's Bible. Reading from Matthew 6:24-34. No servant can be slave to two masters, for either he will hate the first and love the second, or she will be devoted to the first and think nothing of the second. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I bid you, put away anxious thoughts about food and drink to keep you alive, and clothes to cover your body. Surely life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap and store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are worth more than the birds. Is there a person among you who by anxious thought can add a foot to your height? And why be anxious about clothes? Consider how the lilies grow in the fields. They do not work. They do not spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his splendor, was not attired like one of these. But if that is how God clothes the grass in the fields, which is there today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will not God clothe you? How little faith you have. No, do not ask anxiously, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? What shall we wear? All these are things to run after, but not for you, because your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But set your mind on God's kingdom and God's justice before everything else, and all the rest will come to you as well. So do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will look after itself. Each day has troubles enough of its own. Doing this service by video has made me very anxious. And it's reminded me of my childhood memory of sitting in front of the TV and watching Miss Dorothy with Romper Room holding up her empty mirror, her pretend mirror, and looking through the glass and saying, I see Jeanette, and I see Bob, and I see Mert. I feel like that's what I should be doing, because in my heart and imagination, I am seeing all of you sitting here, because you need to know that it's very lonely for Jenny and myself and Sandy and Karen to be in this sanctuary, our beautiful sanctuary, all alone without all of you here. So we have to imagine you. And so thank you for being here. So my brother has been forwarding me some funnies each week, just because that's my brother, which has been really nice. And this week he forwarded me this post, which made me laugh out loud, so I thought I'd share it with you. So it turns out I've learned that my three top hobbies are, number one, eating out at restaurants. Number two, going to non-essential businesses. Number three, touching my face. I can't recall how many times I've been touching my face this week. It's almost constant now. In our scripture today, Jesus is aware that he was living in an age of anxiety. The gap between the rich and the poor was intense. 2% of rich and the rest were poor. And I'm not sure, but I think we're living in an even greater age of anxiety. In fact, the statistics of people living with one of the 11 identified anxiety disorders as of 2013, which is now 7 years old, in that study it was estimated that 3 million Canadians, approximately 11.6% of our population, suffer from agoraphobia, fear of leaving your house. Probably after this, we'll have to name another disorder brought about by being forced to stay in our house. No, don't make me stay at home. There's health anxiety, people worried about their health. There's general anxiety disorder, just being anxious about daily living, and seven others. So already 3 million people in Canada have been more impacted by anxiety than by the virus itself. And all this was before the coronavirus infected people across every continent, with the exception of Antarctica, which I believe is still virus-free, so we might all want to go there. Most of us are experiencing certain levels of anxiety. Some are experiencing fear of catching the virus itself and perhaps dying from it, and it's a very realistic fear. It's a very dangerous virus and has already claimed 188,930 lives globally, two of whom I know personally, and one who is fighting for his life as I speak. Many are anxious because it means a loss of income and financial stability, and people are worried about paying their rent or their mortgage or the bills and grocery bills. And whenever we face fear of financial security, it raises our anxiety levels, and we wonder, how are we going to survive? Others are facing the loneliness and anxiety that comes with not being able to see and hug family members and friends, not be able to reach out and touch someone they love. To remain physically distancing for such a long time is unnatural. In prisons, isolation is used as a form of torture and punishment. To be put in isolation, we know, isn't good for our mental and emotional well-being, and it increases our anxiety. It makes us lose our minds. And just learning how to shop now at the grocery stores in a new way with new rules and new systems can be anxiety-inducing. And if you break a rule because you didn't realize that you were breaking a rule because things have changed since the last time you visited that grocery store and now recycling bags are not okay, and someone yells at you because you went down the wrong aisle the wrong way, it can be very anxiety-producing just popping into the grocery store to pick something up, which is just not worth it to do that anymore. In the village of Alert Bay, off the northern part of our beautiful island, they have had to declare a state of emergency when the mayor tested positive last week, along with several other residents. So now every night, they hear a rather alarming-sounding siren go off at 9 p.m., to enforce people to return to their homes and to isolate from 9:30 p.m. to 6 a.m. every day in attempt to further stop the spread. That is anxiety provoking. And then on top of all of that increased anxiety explodes in a dentist in a little sleepy town in Nova Scotia. And this man was probably already unstable. But all of this anxiety, all of this fear, all of this anger, all of this sense of powerlessness, then he takes out in a premeditated way, explodes within him, and all of these innocent people in these small communities he served are killed through horrendous means. a beautiful retired couple from Ontario who had moved there looking forward to their time in Nova Scotia and taking life slower. People with children being left orphaned. A pregnant VON nurse being killed. A teacher. An RCMP officer. 22 people in 16 different crime scenes in the worst Canadian mass murder in our history. All of this to create even more anxiety about what this isolation is doing on long term to the mental health and well-being of human beings who need community, who need connection, who need financial security and positive relationships in order to cope in our modern society. So it seems all well and good for Jesus to tell us not to be anxious. But I want to say we have a whole lot to be anxious about. And so that's much easier said than done. No one wants to feel anxious, but we're living in a world at war with a tiny, highly infectious virus, and we don't know how long we're going to need to live like this, or how our economy or food supply and way of life can even be sustained. So how do we possibly lean into the wisdom of Jesus' words today? How do we lessen our anxiety in this uncertain time in our human history? We lean into our faith, our trust in God, and into the wisdom of Jesus. In our scripture today, Jesus reminds us, first of all, that the Spirit of life that we name as God cares about what is happening to us. Heaven is concerned for our well-being. And that if God cares about every bird getting enough to eat, and that God's care extends even to the grass whose life is so short-lived, here today and gone tomorrow, then we need to remember of how priceless we are, how we are held in the heart of God, that heaven cares about what each of us is going through. God cares about all the people of Nova Scotia, the pain and suffering of the young man who lost his wife, an unborn child. God cares about the children who have lost their parents. God cares that a teacher who made such a wonderful difference in the lives of her students has lost her life. God cares about Dennis from Living Spirit United, who is struggling to survive COVID. God cares about our own Marlene, and weeps with her in her grief for Jonathan and for Tom. And God's compassion and care extends to parents who are struggling to raise their child with special needs, all on their own without respite care, or the spouse caring for their partner with memory loss without a break. That God cares about all those who are living alone and craving human touch. God cares about those who are watching their retirement investments slipping away, and those who have lost their jobs. We are deeply respected and honored and cared for and valued by the very one who created each and every one of our souls. And that though we might be feeling isolated and alone from one another, none of us, not one, is isolated from God. God gets us, each one of us, and finds a way into our hearts and minds if we only open the shutters around our hearts. I'd like to share a story with you about my friend Kevin. I met Kevin almost 40 years ago now, a beautiful young man, the brother of my roommate Julie. He's the youngest of seven children in a devout Roman Catholic family, handsome, kind, intelligent, giving, 18 years old. The one who would take over his family's successful Toronto business. And one day, Kevin was turning into a Tim Hortons just to get something to eat when he was T-boned and ended up in hospital with a severe brain injury, unable to talk. His mom asked their priest to come and to give Kevin communion one day, but the priest refused, saying that Kevin wouldn't understand, so there was really no point. His mother was deeply disappointed in the response of the priest. A few days later, Kevin was strong enough to motion for a pad and a pen to write something down. He wrote one word. He wrote on the pad of paper, God. Kevin might not have been able to speak, and his brain injury made it difficult for him to walk, but the Spirit of our living God was still very much present to Kevin, even when he was completely trapped in his body, unable to speak or move. Kevin understood at a profound level that he was seen and heard and understood by his Creator. As John Marston writes, if we know who we are, that all life is connected through spirit, and if we learn how to live good lives, then by extension, we will act responsibly toward the creation of harmonious and sustainable healthy relationships in this world. When we can receive Jesus' words and realize with our whole heart that God is as close to each of us as our next breath, and when we can sense God's powerful peace and palpable presence when we close our eyes and ask God to come be with us and touch us, when we can trust that that same care and love for others also flows to us and through us, then we can find the peace which passes all understanding. Do you not understand, says Jesus? Are you not of more value, of more worth than the birds and the grass and the flowers? Where is your faith, your trust in God's love for you? And the second point that Jesus makes in our scriptures today is that we need to stop worrying about our survival, as difficult as that is. Jesus reminds us to stop worrying about tomorrow because there's no point. We can't predict or know the future. Having control over much of our lives is just an illusion. We've never had control. Our leaders are reminding us that we don't know when the situation is going to come to an end, so be prepared for the worst and hope for the best. Jesus reminds us we have little control over much of our lives. So stop lessening our lifespan with worry and just live into today. He asks, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? Then what good is worry? He asks us instead to look to the kingdom of God, to look and live into the goodness of God's ways and lead the best life we can today. Take each day as it comes and make the most of that 24 hours because we don't know what the next 24 hours are going to bring. Maybe bad, maybe good, we don't know. We can't know. We can't predict, so just live the best life we can today. Fill this day with as much goodness and kindness and peace and compassion as we can. Live the kingdom of God. Pick up the phone and call someone when we're lonesome. Watch a funny show and enjoy the healing medicine of laughter. Go out into our yard and breathe in the scent of the earth after a rain and turn our faces and soak up the sunshine like a sunflower when the sun shines. When we cut our lawn, leave a little meadow with a few dandelions for the bees, like rain did last week. When you drive by our house, you'll notice there's a little patch of dandelions. It's there on purpose. She created it for the insects. Plant some flowers and add more beauty to the earth. Play yet another game with our child, because someday when they're all grown up and live far from home, we'll wish they were closer. Post a snail mail letter to a senior or to a child who's never received mail the old-fashioned way. Grow a few veggies in the garden and tend and nurture a living, growing thing. Rescue a pet and make a home for you both. Learn a new technology. Zoom or FaceTime with family and friends for the first time. Dial a wrong number on purpose and make a new friend and offer a word of encouragement to a stranger. And if they hang up, try someone else. I don't advise calling them back and becoming a stalker. You might be arrested. Write your memories about life under COVID so the next generation, years in the future, can read firsthand about what this time in history was like. Write a poem or a song and inspire someone else through the e-news or Facebook or website. Go out and take some photographs and send them to the tech room at Knox so we can use them in a future service when we figure out how to do that. Put together those photo albums we've been putting off and gift them to our family this Christmas. Do that hobby you were always going to do in retirement but never got around to doing it because you didn't have time because you were too busy doing stuff at Knox. Write a letter to God about how you're feeling and trusting God will understand. Tell God how hard it is. Write a letter of gratitude to the government, thanking them for the way they're trying to take care of everyone, the needs of families, of students, of seniors, of people who have lost jobs and businesses. Put some beauty and compassion and gratitude into your day, today. Instead of worrying about ourselves, Jesus reminds us that we can live today so that it makes a positive difference in someone else's life. That's what it means to live into the kingdom of God. So let's fill our day, this day, today, with more love and more gratitude and more peace and compassion for others and for ourselves. I have been so blessed and touched by the care and compassion and adaptability and flexibility of all of our wonderful Knox folks, all of you going out of your way to make the lives of others safer and more enriched. You inspire me today and every day with how you are caring for one another, how you're living into our vision and mission. So thank you for keeping so well connected to one another, for all your words of encouragement you have offered Jenny and Sandy and Karen and Jane and me through this time. So rather than worry today what you're going to do with this day you have been given, let's live it into its fullness. And I leave you with the inspiring words of leader Jagmeet Singh, which it's so satisfying to see all of our government leaders working collaboratively and collectively together. And this is what Jagmeet Singh said to the House of Commons. I hear a lot of people talking about when will things return to normal? But I believe we need to do far better than normal. Normal is workers not having paid sick leave. Normal is families struggling on minimum wage. Normal is people who are essential to our health and safety not getting paid enough to live. Normal is a public health care system that has been starved of funding. Normal is a society that is neither fair nor resilient. We can't ever go back to normal. Canadians are showing their compassion. They're showing their desire to care for one another. We should expect that of our government as well. We should expect that our government embrace these same values. So let's not return to the old normal. Let's build a new normal where we take better care of each other, where we have a strong social safety net that lifts all of us up together. Let's build a Canada that is fair and resilient. Canadians are counting on us to learn from this crisis and to build a better Canada for all of us. That sounds a lot like the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven to me. So friends, as people of faith, let us go forth to not only seek, but to live that kingdom of God today. Not tomorrow, but at least today. And then hopefully tomorrow. May it be so. Amen. So we meditate on the words of the hymn, In You There Is a Refuge. In you there is a refuge. In you we find our peace. When all we know is chaos, may our trust in you increase. In you there is a silence. In you our minds are clear. When all we hear is discord, may our quiet draw us near. In you there is a vision. In you we learn to dream. when all we see is desert, may you be our living stream. For in you there is a future. In you we find our way. When hope has shed its brightness, may you show us a new day. As we enter into a time of prayer, we listen for the singing bowl to call us into prayer. Sacred source of all life, you draw close to each one of us wherever we may be. For you dwell and always have within each of our spirits that you so beautifully crafted. We pray this day for all those who are grieving, all those who have lost their lives in Nova Scotia. We reflect on their faces and we read the stories of their beautiful lives, and we grieve with their families their loss. We pray this day for people around the world who are grieving loved ones because of the virus, for all those who have died throughout the world, as we are aware, like we have never been, that we are one whole global family. We remember this day Marlene, who grieves Jonathan and Tom. Fill her hearts with your peace. We remember the people of Living Spirit who grieve the loss of Pat, and the congregation of Deer Park United who grieve Muriel Spencer. O God, we call. O God, we call. From deep inside we yearn. From deep inside we yearn. From deep inside we yearn for you. We pray this day for all those among us who are ill. We pray especially for those who are ill with this virus around the world. Those who are being admitted to hospital for other reasons in a scary time. We pray for all those among us who are driving to hospitals for chemo and radiation as they heal from cancer. Members of our own community and loved ones from our faith community. We pray this day for all those among us living with anxiety and depression. Lift their hearts and spirits. For all those who are feeling the loneliness and isolation of this time, give them your peace, which passes all understanding, and help them to know that you are just right there, and that we are linked one to another, spirit to spirit. We pray this day for all families among us who are caring for special needs children or caregiving spouses with memory loss or other illness. We pray for all those struggling of body, mind, heart, or spirit. O God, we call. We give thanks and gratitude this day for our government. We are so blessed to have a government that is working night and day, and provincial medical people and healthcare workers and scientists who are doing everything they can to help prevent the spread, for citizens who are cooperating, for all of us banding together in this country to find a cure, to find treatment, to find a vaccine, to find fast testing and tracking. We give thanks for the blessing of these wonderful minds and hearts doing their very best for us. And now in the silence, we bring before you our own concerns and we lift them to you in the silence. Sacred love, we give thanks that none of us is alone, that you care for us as you care for every blade of grass, every insect, and every flower, even those who in their fear and pain have brought fear and pain to others. You hold them too. Nothing is beyond your loving care. For this we give thanks, that we are all included in your love. Draw us close to you and to one another, even in the distance, in spite of distance, as we say together in our own spaces the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him to say, Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And with all our might, with our best singing voices, even if that's a shower only voice, let's raise our voices as we sing together, Will Your Anchor Hold?
Thank you.
Dear friends, go forth into your day today, filling it with all of your love and all of your gratitude and all of your compassion and goodness, that you may bring life to this earth in spite of everything that's happening. And as you go forth into today, may the love of God hold you close. And may the peace and the gentleness of the Christ guide you in all you say and do. And may the Holy Spirit fill you and give you the peace which passes all understanding. Enough for today.